The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS. Streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Hour two of the show. You can become a fan of the show as well on Facebook, 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff, and also follow us on Twitter, WILS Weekend Kick. We'll be joined a little later in the show by Sporting News' Dave Curtis, talking about the Michigan spring game today, and also Angelique Jengelis from the Detroit News will be with us talking about the Michigan game. And also going to talk some Red Wings a little bit later in the show, but we're in the junk bin at this point, and there were a couple stories that we wanted to get to in the junk bin. One rather interesting one that I want to start with, Scott, and I know we were going to talk jerseys, and we'll talk that in a minute, jersey sales in the NFL, but I want to start with this article that you found at CSNBayArea.com, and it is a five-year study of NFL drafts, and it is basically, it's written by Matt Maiocco, is that how you say his name? Any idea?
I kept seeing Macchio when I would look at it.
Macchio?
No, that's not what it is, but that's all I could see was Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, I don't think that's correct, but, you know, we'll go with it. But anyway, he ranks the 30 NFL teams and where, or 32 NFL teams, and where that they rank in the last 5 years draft-wise. And it was very interesting to see that number 19 was the Detroit Lions. They weren't 32nd. They were 19th. How do you feel about that?
I think they're putting too much stock into just Ndamukong Suh, Calvin Johnson, and I don't know why people always say Matthew Stafford is a great pick, because we don't know that. He could be. He really could be, or he could be a huge bust where you have to pay him $40 million guaranteed for how many games has he played?
12.
12? Yeah.
I don't call Matthew I will never call Matthew Stafford a bust if injuries are the reason that Matthew Stafford doesn't play. Because here's the bottom line. Nobody knew Matthew Stafford was injury prone. Nobody.
Not a bust, but just not a successful pick.
Yes. You know, Matthew Stafford, to me, has shown when healthy, the offense goes to a new level. There's no doubt about that. But you're right that the Matthew Stafford pick, although from a talent standpoint, was correct. Look, here's the bottom line with the Lions. When you have as many top picks as they have, they should be higher than 19th. They should have an entire team filled with first and second round picks. Now, the last couple of years have been good. A couple of years ago, they had Delmas, they had Pettigrew, they had Stafford, they had DeAndre Levin. They've had some good players that now contribute. You have Calvin Johnson, Ndamukong Suh, things like that. But for every one of those, you've had a Jordan Dyson. You've had a Gazdar Cherales. And then before that, almost none of those players from 3 years ago, from the Rod Marinelli era, are still on the team. And so from that standpoint, if we're looking at the entire 5 years in general, 19th is a very generous pick, in my opinion.
Well, it's funny because number two on that is New Orleans Saints. And most of their draft picks went in a trade to get Ricky Williams. And they were still able, with as few of picks as they had, to be very successful.
Well, how long ago was that Ricky Williams deal? That was 99, wasn't it?
Still affecting all their future draft picks.
Were they really still affected?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought at this point that was done. I'd have to look more into that. I'm looking at this rankings, and they have the New Orleans Saints' worst pick as Reggie Bush. I'm not sure about that. I know Reggie Bush is not the NFL star that everybody thought he was going to be. I know Reggie Bush is not a fantastic NFL player, but Reggie Bush also stretches the field a lot for New Orleans when he's healthy, and he gives them a different dimension. And whether you're getting 6 touches or you're getting 26 touches, if in those 6 touches you're making something happen, and he does, I don't know that you can call that a disappointing pick. Did we really think as good a running back as Reggie Bush was at USC, and he was a fantastic running back, when he went pro, I'm not sure I ever got the vibe that he was a 25 carry a game type of back. I kind of felt like he was a Brian Westbrook type of back, where he was going to get plenty of touches, but it wasn't going to be on carries. It was going to be on screens and things of that nature. And so I'm not sure that you can look at Reggie Bush, and even though he won a Heisman Trophy and even though he was a great player at USC, you know, Reggie Bush also had a running back running along with him that took a lot of those carries away from him. Lendell White took a lot of carries away from Reggie Bush and kept him fresh for all his big runs. And so even at USC, I want to say Reggie Bush only averaged between 10 and 15 carries a game.
Yeah, he was famous for what he could, punt returns, and you could line him up in the slot if you needed to.
And jumping over people.
Yeah, that too.
Obviously. Now, I do agree with the number one ranking, which is the Green Bay Packers, because basically everybody on the Green Bay Packers is a draft pick that they got a long time ago. Because let's face it, other than Charles Woodson, what great free agents do you really have with the Green Bay Packers? It's a lot of homegrown talent, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't. I know their defense has some. Their secondary has some. But yeah, the thing I'm surprised about, the New England Patriots are all the way down at number 9. And they seem to be the team that always finds the gem in
New
a
England
draft.
Patriots are a. Every year they make a draft pick and I go, oh, rich getting richer. The rich is getting richer. And so, yeah, I think Patriots are probably a little higher than that. The Steelers, obviously, because of Ben Roethlisberger. Although he wasn't 5 years ago, was he? He was a lot later than that. What year is Roethlisberger in this year? 8?
No, he can't be that old. He's 28. It might have been 5 years ago. Exactly 5. Maybe so, 6.
Yeah. And one thing I will look at here, Baltimore Ravens, number 6. It says their best pick was nose tackle Ioloti Ngata. How is it not Ray Rice? They got him in the second round. And he's now their top back. He averages 2,000 yards a season between running and catching. How could you not say Ray Rice, who has given their offense a new dimension, is the best pick that the Baltimore Ravens have had? As good as Ngata is. But Ngata was a first-round pick.
Well, I think it's partly because when you think of the Ravens, what do you think? You think of their defense.
3-4 defense.
Exactly. And he is a huge disruptive force in that.
Yeah, but see, when I look at draft picks and rating how good your draft picks are, I would almost say for the Lions, DeAndre Levy was one of their best picks because of where they got him and the value they got him at. That, to me, is a big thing with draft picks. What value are you getting in what round? We all knew Calvin Johnson was going to be good. We all knew Ndamukong Suh was going to be good. We didn't know DeAndre Levy was going to be good. And so from that standpoint, I think you have to look at a pick like that and say that they had more value to it. To me, a fifth-round pick that ends up starting for your team is almost higher value than a first-round pick that is a star on your team. Because you knew the first-round pick was going to be a star. That's why he's a first-round pick. You didn't know the fifth-round pick was going to be a star.
And it saves the team a lot of money.
Exactly. Exactly. Why is Tom Brady one of the best draft picks ever? Because he was a sixth-round pick. That's why. And so from that standpoint, I see some good things in these rankings, but I also see some problems with these rankings. Let's move on to a story that was printed in USA Today about NFL jersey sales. Now, it's a little bit misleading because it says Aaron Rodgers passes Brett Favre in jersey sales. And that makes it almost sound like Rodgers has sold more jerseys total ever than Brett Favre.
Or that Aaron Rodgers is now number one
exactly.
In the nation. Neither which of true.
Which is not true. I mean, nobody buys a Brett Favre jersey anymore because he's switching from team to team every single year, and we don't know if he's going to continue playing. Now, that being said, Aaron Rodgers is number 2 on the list. Number 2 behind Troy Polamalu, which that still cracks me up that Troy Polamalu is number 1.
I think he is the highest selling among female fans, is Troy Polamalu.
If you ask me, without looking at this list, if you ask me who the number one jersey sale was in America, I'd probably have to say either Tom Brady or Adrian Peterson would probably be my two picks.
I'd say Tom Brady would be my first guess, and I'd throw Peyton Manning as my second guess.
And really, Tom Brady is number 7 on this list, and Adrian Peterson's number 15. So that shows you where my viewing is of what people think of the players in this league.
Well, it's not just that. You're also looking at who the best players are, and that's not always a fan favorite.
Well, and likable players, too. I think people love Adrian Peterson. I think they like Tom Brady. So I just look at that, and I like Troy Polamalu, but it's just rare that a safety is going to sell jerseys like that. So the only other jersey I can think of that sold a lot, Brian Dawkins, when he played for the Eagles, sold a lot of jerseys in Philadelphia because he was such a fan favorite there. But it to be number one overall, you have to sell more than just Pittsburgh fans' jerseys. And so that means a lot of people around the nation like Troy Polamalu, not just the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I would be willing to say, you know, the Cowboys are America's team. I think it's the Steelers. The Steelers have taken over. They have the biggest
fan definitely
base.
They've got that blue-collar attitude to them. They seem to find the best out of all their players, and they play a brand of football that reminds people of what football used to be. It's not finesse. It's in your face. It's rough, and people like that about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So definitely. All right, when looking at this list, or in general, first of all, let me ask you this. When are you too old to buy a jersey?
I know that's been a topic of discussion before. I think you can buy a jersey whenever. If you're a fan, if you want to support the team, go right ahead, especially if you go to games. I love people who wear jerseys to games. I don't like people
who
necessarily...
There's no age that you get to that you just say, come on, dude, seriously, just buy a t-shirt.
No, if my grandpa wanted to rock a jersey, hell yeah, more power to him.
See, I'm with you there. But I know there's a lot of people that are not fans of jerseys as you get older. I'm aware of that. I'll probably always buy jerseys. I love buying jerseys. I have a ton at home. I still have my favorite NFL player of all time, O.J. McDuffie, because I was a huge Miami Dolphin fans growing up.
That still cracks me up.
O.J. McDuffie and Irving Fryer were my two favorite players. And I had an OJ McDuffie jersey.
Dan Marino, maybe?
I like Dan Marino, but towards the end of his career, me and my brother had a nickname for him. It was Dan Bedpan, because he was just so old. And he looked like he couldn't even rotate correctly to throw a ball. So he just got so old that, you know, during the Mark Clayton and Mark Duper era, yes. During the OJ McDuffie, Irving Fryer era, not so much Dan Marino. Once Scott Mitchell started jumping into the picture, it was all over for me. But overall, O.J. McDuffie was my favorite player, and I had his jersey. I still have my O.J. McDuffie jersey.
I'm trying to think. The last jersey that I actually had, like, I've got a couple. We were talking. I've got, speaking of soccer, Rivaldo, when I was in Spain in high school. I bought that one.
Good player. Very underrated
yes.
player.
Yes. I have an old-school Montreal Expos jersey that you'll see me rock every once in a while. But the jersey that I wish I had from, I think, fifth grade, Chris Spielman. Oh, that was my favorite.
He's
that
a good
was
player.
My favorite.
Chris Spielman was a great player. He sold a lot of jerseys, too. Unfortunately, he was there the same time Barry Sanders was, so there were way more Barry Sanders jerseys. But Chris Spielman was a good player. The jerseys I have at home, I have two. My favorite soccer player is a guy named Jonathan Spector, and so I have both his U.S. jersey and his club team jersey. And then I also have the O.J. McDuffie jersey, but that's about it for jerseys at this point. And here's the most frustrating one. I have a Robinson Cano jersey, Yankees Robinson Cano jersey. However, I have number 22 because I got it when he was a rookie, and then he changed his number. So now everybody, every time I wear a Yankees jersey, they're like, nice Clemens jersey, man. Way to go. Nice LaTroy Hawkins jersey, dude. Really cool. Ugh.
At least it's not like Kyle Farnsworth that changed to his number when he was a Yankee
or
something.
Seriously. But if I had to buy a jersey now, I'd either go LeSean McCoy for the Eagles because I think he's about to blow up, or Ray Rice because I love watching Ray Rice. And, you know, he's my fantasy running back. You got to support your fantasy running back.
See, I would go with Aaron Rodgers, I think. I'd go Peyton Manning first, then Aaron Rodgers. I forget my fandom for the Colts here.
Great jersey story right before we go to break. So I'm in Cleveland to watch the Indians and Tigers a couple years ago. And we're in this bar in Cleveland and we're hanging out. And this dude walks in with a Tigers jersey. And it's an away Tigers jersey. And we're like, I wonder what jersey that is. Because on the front it says 26. We're like, who's 26? He turns around and it's Chris Shelton. It's a Chris Shelton jersey.
He got a lot of wear out
of
that
one. Oh, God. We felt so bad for him because it was the year after Shelton had hit that 12 home runs in April, and now he was in the minor leagues, and it was clear he was never getting his swing back. That is because baseball jerseys are so expensive, so you better be sure that you are getting a player that you know is going to stay in the league.
That's why the Tigers have the t-shirts, the dark blue t-shirts. I have a Jeremy Bonderman t-shirt. That is the one I own. The one Tigers one that I would love to buy if I can find it. The old school from the mid-80s. Not the button-up, like the pullover, like vinyl jersey, Alan Trammell. That's okay. One that I really want to get.
All right. Fair enough. Anyway, let's talk Tigers when we come back. We'll talk Tigers next. Weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.